Thank God it's Free Range. You are listening to Free Range Radio Friday with your host, Michael Elves. Pour yourself a beverage and turn up the volume, because here on 101.5 UMFM, the weekend starts now.
UMFM. This is Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. I'm Michael Elves, and kicking things off for us tonight, a brand new single from Ryan Hemsworth, That Special Girl, featuring SK and Tom G. Three G's. Not sure how to pronounce that one, but whatever. It's a great track and a really great video, too, if you get a chance to go on YouTube or whatever other internet way you watch videos and check that one out. Great dancing on it. We got a busy show for you tonight, all sorts of new music. This is the fall, and this is when a lot of new records drop as bands set to hit the road, fall touring. Speaking of fall touring, Jean-Michel Blais will be on the phone a little after 7. The Polaris Prize nominee is bringing Dans Ma Main, the new record, to the West End Cultural Center 1 week from tonight. And we're going to hear from him about that fantastic record and more. Before we get to that, though, we got some new stuff from Marabou. We've played the singles leading up to this, but Kingdoms in Color is about to drop the full length on Counter Records. We're going to hear a track called Nervous Ticks featuring guest vocalist Holly Walker. And then keeping it on kind of the fantastic vocalist kick, got a new track from Rye, Driving, the Ivy Lab remix off of a compilation out on True Thoughts. And Kendra Morris released a song called Summertime as we head into the fall. Just kind of a perfect timing for it.
Mm-hmm.
the fond look back at the season that was. That's Kinder Morris's Summertime, and before that, Rye with Driving. We're going to change it up a little bit, go into the folk pop realm. New song that I got from artist S.K. Wellington that features one of the bros Landreth on playing in support. A track called Moments Bliss. It's the title to the EP. And then Sophia Nolin, who we love here on Thank God It's Free Range, has a record coming out later this fall called Donc le Noir. We're going to play you the live version of Miroir. And then we've got Anna and Elizabeth. The duo are coming for the Winnipeg Cranky Festival. If you head to umfm.com, you can find a link to the Home Roots Festival page off of there. And their latest record is out on Smithsonian Folkways. It's called The Invisible Comes to Us. And we're going to hear Woman is Walking. And following that up with Victoria artist Winnie Richards and a track from her album, Bubbles in a Pipeline. Keep it locked here on Thank God It's Free Range, 101.5 UMFM.
Creatures sing. Jesus.
All right. Well, he is bringing his Polaris-nominated album Dans Ma Main to the West End Cultural Center next Friday, September 14th. Jean-Michel Blais joins us on the line. How are you doing, Jean-Michel?
I'm quite well. I'm just back from Europe, actually. So, yeah.
Now, you had lived in Berlin for a time, is that correct?
I did, yeah. I mean, sporadically, I should say, over at least a year, like a few months, like from 2, 3, 4 months every time. So I got to know the city quite well.
Does place affect your songwriting at all? Like, have you found that, you know, the compositions that you come up with or musical ideas that you have in Europe differ from those in Canada?
Certainly. But I think it's a mixture of all of it. But, I mean, since a long time, I'm super influenced by German classical music composer and contemporary one and electronic music too. So having lived in Berlin was sort of the climax of it all together. And I don't know, getting to know the city well. And there's so much art and creation happening nowadays over there. So it's just happening everywhere, every time. And the relation with, I don't know, silence. It's a city with a lot of silence and nature too. So it was super influential, and it probably will remain my whole life, you know, because it's really shaped somehow the artist I think I became. Yep.
Right. Now, you were involved with the Red Bull Music Academy, and as someone who's kind of like heard about it but doesn't know like what that entails, like what did you develop or learn out of that experience that, you know, has informed you as a musician?
Yeah, well, actually, Red Bull Music Academy, they do many things, and it started in Berlin, actually. And the idea was to sort of set up an informal school or university for electronic music. And there's a place for people that you can apply, and then you go there and you're doing sort of a residency. But there's other categories, and what happened for my category, let's say, is because when they move around the world, right? So they came to Montreal to do those residencies, and by being here, they were interested in creating, they call it encounters. So like they make two artists that are not, I think the best example is Tenyatagak and Fucked Up, that are really different musical styles, and they asked them to create a show together. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened with CFCF and I. So they merged, they asked us to create a 1-hour show, and they sponsored us and gave us the opportunity, the means to create this. And it's really like, I don't know the word in English, in French it's mécène. It's like, back then, rich people would give money to, they would like sponsors, sort of like privately. And it's really good because since it's finished now, we've been able to do the show other times, and we've released an EP through it. And I've got to learn so much about electronic by working with CFCF, who's actually my neighbor and became a friend, and all this story came out of it. So it's really beautiful. It's to create a community and connection between people. It's more on the electronic side, and it really fit well with me, again, as we were saying earlier, like back from Berlin and wanting to develop more new ways to, new perspective on classical piano. So integrating electronics, Ableton, that we're using a lot, was maybe like, I don't know, a way to rethink this music.
Did you have the ambition to kind of reevaluate the piano before you discovered something like Ableton, or was it the Ableton that kind of like you had an aha moment that, oh, I could re-envision what I can create with an instrument?
It's a really good question. I think it's really both. Like my first album, there's this song called Nastos, where you can hear some pads in the back, and it's like post-produced piano. And back then I already had the intention, and when I say we're a team, you know, I work with a lot of friends on that, and with some friends we were trying to see how can we do more than just using the white and black keys, which is far from being new, right? From a classical perspective, it's just less common and it's less accessible often. It's more, I don't know, contemporary music. It's more raw. And bringing it in a more accessible language was really something I had in mind, and it was the direction I wanted to take. But for sure, when I got this Ableton thing. I just couldn't stop. It was just suddenly I could listen, control, play, edit all my music and add layers of it. It was infinity. So it was, and it still is, because now I'm setting up for like the live show. So there's so many. I discover that you can use Ableton Live and you can create your own synths with piano sounds, for example. And so it's really big. Like the limitation is yourself, I think. There's still some little things we can ask Ableton to do that's not able to do, but it's just so rich and powerful and diverse. And it happened to me to use Ableton because CFCM was using Ableton. I could have been working with another software, but this one really works well with me, what I'm doing right now.
Did you come across any sort of limitations in terms of your learning curve where something you heard or wanted to achieve was something you weren't yet capable of technically?
You mean with Ableton, with electronics?
Yes. Or more yes. Like in terms of learning Ableton, like did you hear something in your head that you thought, oh, I could achieve this with Ableton, but then, you know, in the mechanics of it, you weren't necessarily there yet?
All the time. I spent all my so many hours in tutorials and asking friends and reading. And I've recently met with the Ableton team and asked, how can we do this and this? And even some things because they're from more electronic background, you write all your music in MIDI, but you don't write it like classical sheet music. And I'm like, why is there no way to produce actually classical sheet music? So we're even working on some things like this to develop the program a bit. So for sure. It's you always feel dumb and you always feel like you don't know anything. And suddenly you just find a way to deal with it. And yep. I've made so many mistakes. And from those, a lot of good things happened. And then I just importing a track and it went wrong and creates new sounds and I like it and I keep them. This happens all the time. So it's electronic, so it's so vast. Yeah.
Those happy accidents then?
Yeah, happy accidents, exactly.
Songwriting wise, like, do you have a specific method or mode of writing, or does it vary from composition to composition for you? Like, do you, you know, begin with a sort of motif or a sketch, or how do you kind of write your music?
It's a good question. I think the answer to this is really, it's improvisation. Somehow I feel something's going to come out and I just sit on a piano somewhere or whatever instrument and I just play around and there's something that comes through. I often go by the moment where I'm like, it's done, it's over now, we'll never have any good idea anymore. And then through this, like something come out and I'm like, oh, and slowly shaping it. And yeah, so sometimes it comes, some songs come in few minutes or hours, and others are accumulations of themes over years, you know? So it's really hard to tell. And suddenly it falls in, like everything falls into piece. I mean, together, and it creates a unity. So it's really changing from one song to another. But I think the common thread is really the improvisation. And it's always changing. I always play my songs a bit different from one show to another to keep them alive also. And just because I don't know, I get bored. I want to, maybe, you know, that's the difference I have with classical music. You need to respect a sheet of text, an actual musical text. And I've always wanted to think it differently because it depends much on the instrument and the evening, the people that are listening to you, their attention span and all that. So sometimes you feel more like you want to perform, and sometimes you want to just meditate, and sometimes you want to bring people to like another level. So I think this is always changing somehow, and it's part of a composition, but also the playing, you know.
You, as I understand it, entered the conservatory quite late, or at least late for the typical piano player.
Yep.
Do you think that your kind of ambivalence towards the honoring the sheet music and not exploring kind of like night to night might have something to do with that? Like that you haven't had it drilled into you to respect the text necessarily?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, yeah, it's really like I've got to know music before the fact that it's shaped and formed and written down. So my encounter with music is passion and his sounds and his playing. So this came later for sure. I think it's a nice way to pass on, and like people now can play my song, I can play other people's song. But for like just for the story, before Felix Mendelssohn, no one would play other people's songs. You would play your own thing. You know, it's a recent sort of beginning in 19th century. It's like it's a recent thing in history to play other people's songs, even covers. So it's really it's like all this decorum and all this structure of like how you play. You should play your songs in order from the older to the new one. You shouldn't plow between, and all this frame is there for a reason, but also it's not needed anytime, or it's not needed anymore, I think. And for sure, I got in there, I was a teenager, so I wanted to change everything. I was always unsatisfied about those limits, and I think it's feeding me. And thanks to those limits and fences, so I can jump over, you know, if it was all free and open, then there would be nothing to play with. So somehow I thank it.
Mm. Now, the improvisatory nature and sort of like the fluidity of your songs, how then do you kind of land upon the one that ends up on the record? Like, how do you know kind of this is the version that I want to capture and immortalize?
It's so long. It's so difficult. I go from, I don't know, 300 to 100 excerpts, to then I select, okay, 20 demos. And from those, I say, okay, I'm going to record 12 of those, and then I go and I play them takes after takes. And I think what I've come through is that often after 3, 4, 5 takes max, we've got what we need. It's often the second or the third one, and that's it. And it's about the magic of the moment, the connection with, I think, the through sense beyond the song, and it's not about perfection. Because often, I have a team that helps me to select the best takes and all that. Because often what I prefer is the perfect sound, like the perfect takes that are quite boring often. I'm like super satisfied because they're all neat and clear, but it's boring. And other, I have mistakes and hesitations and, I don't know, problems in them, but they're alive. They're vivid. And like there's something to it. And so luckily, you know, I work with, like with Buffalo, and Arts and Crafts is helping me in that, my manager, and like my family, you know. Everyone, I knock at their door sometimes, like, what do you think? I do listening sessions before releasing an album, and collect people's impressions to see how it feels. It's really a teamwork. It comes out of, like layers of filtering, I think.
Right. So you're kind of, you would be looking for like technical execution, whereas your sort of secondary group of listeners are more for about the tonal or kind of experiential part of it?
Exactly. Well, resume. You've said in one sentence what I took minutes to say. But exactly, that's it. And I think that's what we're searching for nowadays in this, I mean, in people that listen to my music, it's an experience, it's a moment, it's capturing something, it's a soundtrack to whatever our lives, more than perfection. I think we've seen so much perfection, and there are good people who do it quite well. And I think when I quit conservatory, I sort of quit the illusion of perfection somehow, and I think I'm just trying to find my new way beside it a bit.
Well, before we go, Jean-Michel, I want to get you to pick a track off Danse Ma Main that we can play for listeners. And if you have a reason why you're picking that song in particular, or an anecdote about it, I'd love to hear that.
Oh, I would say, I think A Heartbeat Away is an interesting one, because it's A Heartbeat Away are lyrics from a song from Leo Sayer, which is like a really pop song. It's called When I Need You. I was listening to when I was like a kid, and by improvising and seeing that there was something coming out of it, I realized that this was sort of the song that was behind all the rest. And it's interesting because this song I composed in for a friend who's lost her father, and curiously, the song is about the absence of the loved one and the distance, and It's like, when I need you, I just close my eyes and I'm with you, which is super cheesy and pop and love, like a pop love song on one side, mm-hmm. but it's also deep and really beautiful. And it's interesting that unconsciously, by improvising in this moment when I've learned the accident, this is what came out through me without, it was not rational. It was just like, really like my deep subconscious of when I was a kid came through it with those chords and the scale and all that. And I think it's really interesting because when you listen to it, you don't know that, but I think it's really interesting it shows how creativity works. I think you just recreate from what is pre-existent in a different way. And it's also a nice way. It's a nice song, I think, that goes from pure piano soundscape to like deep, profound, intense electronic and back to the piano. And I think it shows a bit this transition that I'm trying to work on now.
And maybe like those lyrics suggest, like when you closed your eyes to write this song, that those chords were inside you.
Yeah, exactly. Well said.
Well, Jean-Michel, thank you very much for taking some time. Congratulations on the Polaris nomination, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Looking forward to seeing you here at the West End on Friday, September 14th. And we're going to take a listen to one of the selections. Jean-Michel, thanks again.
You're welcome. And I wish I see you at the show.
Broken. heart on the sleeve of my satin blouse, going to your house every night, looking for satisfaction. You could be a lover, but honestly, I've had too many to count. Part of me is over it, pretend I don't give a shit. I answer your messages sitting, I question why people leave red receipts on, and I'm just a pawn in some game of love. This isn't me at all, need to change it up. I'm too kind, that's weakness, till I become blind and sleepless, can't treat this. So I'm faithful to those I feel deserve love, but I guess that's everyone, not sure that I have enough.
Back here on Thank God It's Free Range, and that was a brand new track from Winnipeg's own Begonia. That one is called The Light, and getting some shout-outs from the likes of Tanika Charles and Gabriel Schonk earlier this week on Instagram. Congratulations to Begonia. Before that, coming out later this month, Cale Matson's new album, Youth, and a song called Broken in Two, and then the new single from Front Person. That's Catherine Calder and Mark Hamilton of Wood Pigeon, a track called Tick Tock. Speaking of the clock, we're just about out of time, but we've got a few more songs before After 8 Radio, including this brand new single from Natalia Clavia, who has worked with Thievery Corporation, one of my all-time favorite groups. Natalia has a record out called Trans at September 28th release date, and the first single from Nacional Records is This Feeling, right here, 101.5 UMFM.
Thank you. swear to God I wasn't born to fight. Maybe just a little bit, enough to make me sick of it. But I can read between the lines. I want to run from everything, but my legs won't work, it's clear to me.
My own way down to where I'm about to be.
Wait and see.